T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let me try to clean this up without messing it up one more time. The guy that's going to jail for 90 years had a blood alcohol content of 0.20. Not 2.0, not 0.02. It was 0.20. And I think that's right. And if not, I know you'll text me and let me know. Speaking of texting, why don't you text in 870-870 if you have any questions about internet security, because I'm going to tell you what, just when you think, well, Jason Glassberg, let's welcome him in, ethical hacker and co-founder of Kasaba Security. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and thank you for taking the time with us again. 260-1870 if you got any question about scams, internet securities, and I want to hear your story. You can text at 870, you can call us at 260-1870. So every time, Jason, you think you've seen the last scam, something else comes up, right?
Absolutely. Don't ever underestimate the creative powers of a criminal.
What is the latest thing now in terms of phone scams?
The latest thing seems to be kind of a mix of phishing attack, where someone sends you a fake email and you click on it, combined with an SMS and just plain gullibility on the user's part. So there's a big scam going around where you'll get a phone call that looks to be from your branch bank. You answer this call and they tell you, hey, it looks like there's been some suspicious activity on this account. Have you made a deposit in Texas? And if you're in Louisiana or you're in Washington or whatever, you will probably say, no, I haven't made a withdrawal there.
Wait, a deposit or a withdrawal? Or
well, something. Well, some transaction,
okay.
Right? So they're gonna say, this looks very strange. You live here, and there's been a transaction in some other place. You're going to be alarmed. You're going to say, what? Why, no, I haven't. And the bank or the person on the phone will say, let me have your banking information, and we'll check this out. And you will go, and you'll say, okay, here's my name. And here's my, potentially saying, here's my account number. And they will tell you that you are going to be receiving a PIN through your SMS on your phone. And please repeat that back so we can verify that you are the user. And you will then get this text back with a PIN. You'll tell the banker or the person on the phone, well, here's my PIN. I verified. And they'll say, great. And they'll go through looking at your account and saying, well, have you made this transaction, this transaction, this transaction? You will say yes, and they'll say, okay, well, let's reset your account, and let me have your PIN, and I will go and reset your account. And, of course, at this point, you should be saying, why would they be asking for my PIN? Because if you give them your PIN, you've essentially given them access to your full account by resetting the password.
You lost me there somewhere, Jason. We'll pick it up when we come back because I'm confused with how they got to view your account to see what the activity was. Jason Glassberg, our guest, ethical hacker, co-founder of Kasaba Security. And the other thing is, it seems as though, just like a magic trick, it's misdirection, right? When a magician pulls a rabbit out of the hat or whatever they do, it's always about they get you looking one place and that's how they get you to fall for the trick. And I think it's the same way with these guys and women, that they get you to give up information by getting you distracted with something else. If you have any questions or comments, 260-1870 or 870-870, maybe you have parents who you're worried about falling for scams, etc. Give us a call. Jason will help you out. 820 now, traffic on WWL. 824, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jason Glassberg, ethical hacker and co-founder of Kasaba Security. So, Jason, we were talking about, before the break, a scam where they call you and they tell you, have you had any activity on your banking account in Texas, for example, for people here. And you say no. And then what happens from there? How do they get access to information?
Well, basically, they're taking advantage of your anxiety and the fact that they can somehow mimic or spoof their identity, right? So you think you're talking to the bank when in fact you're talking obviously to a bad guy. Mm-hmm. So what they're looking to do is go through kind of this official cadence that you normally go through with a bank. When you call the bank, they ask you to identify yourself. You'll give them your name. They'll ask you, you know, what account number is this in reference to? And you can tell them. And what these folks are doing is actually entering that into the password reset function of the bank. You know, okay. If you forget your password, you have to go in and reset it. Right. And as part of that, they ask you to enter in a PIN that you'll receive as a text from your phone. So you're talking to these people. They tell you you're going to receive a text. You get this text. You naturally think you're talking to these folks. You're talking to the bank.
Right.
So it's a very clever trick. Of course, the next step in that operation is once you get the password reset, they're going to ask you for a PIN or another identification, right? It's part of the multi-factor way you reset your password. And at that point, you know, folks are saying, hey, wait a minute, whoa, this doesn't seem right. So it has been very effective, though, for folks who you know, are nervous and worried. And that's what these folks, you know, the bad guys are taking advantage of, your anxiety.
And I said before we went to the break, it's almost like a magician with misdirection, right? There's always something to get you going where you lose your common sense.
Exactly. And in this case, you're worried about fraud. And for all intent and purposes, it looks like it's coming from your legitimate bank with a legitimate number. And they've even gone to the trouble of being able to send a text to your phone. So it's a very convincing fraud.
So to maybe notice the misdirections, and I'm going to get to some questions here in a second. And somebody texted in, would your bank ever call you, or how do you know it is not your bank?
Well, your bank certainly can call you. In fact, sometimes you'll even get these legitimate, you know, and it could be a robotic message or it could be a human saying, hey, we've detected some unusual activity in your account. Generally, what I advise people to do is to say, thank you very much for the notification. I'm going to call customer service and confirm,
mm-hmm.
right? And that way you kind of thank them because it could be legitimate, it could not be. But by you initiating the call to customer service, You're protecting yourself.
Yeah, a guy comes on after me, Newell Norman, a very smart man. He talks about emotional intelligence. And I guess the first thing you have to do is maintain control of that, right? No matter what you're told, you can't.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. This is exactly how they victimize people, is they catch them off guard. As you say, they give them a misdirection. They give them something else to worry about. But really, people just need to be in charge. You can always say, thanks, I'm going to call whatever institution is reporting this problem.
Somebody texted in here and said, looking to buy a laptop, suggest an Apple or other for better security. What would you suggest for either one when it comes to security protection programs, information that you should know?
You know, that's the age-old question. Are you a Ford or a Chevy guy?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, both are so mature and both have such support in the community that either one is going to provide you protection and security if you keep them up to date, right? It really doesn't matter what operating system or what, you know, computer manufacturer you go with. The important thing is keeping the operating system that you use up to date and all the applications that you use, the antivirus and the web browser, for example, because those are the attack vectors. That's what we would, you know, call them, the vectors where you can go and actually cause harm to folks. So as long as you keep those up to date, any computer or system you use will be fine.
So a Mac is not less susceptible to, pop-up ads or is the program for whatever it is, and maybe I'm using the wrong term here, Jason, for a Mac, is that less resistant to viruses if you go to a site that's questionable?
Not really, right? Because remember, people are using the browser. For the most part, people right now are using either Chrome or Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
And either one of those versions, whether it's for Mac or whether it's for PC, is going to be vulnerable to that style of attack. That's not to say there aren't other attacks that go after a lower level operating system, but at this point, it's kind of a 50-50 draw. I would always recommend go with what you're most comfortable with.
I'm going to guess you're a Mac guy.
I'm a both. I'm ambidextrous.
Right. Okay. Jason Glassberg, our guest, ethical hacker, co-founder of Kasaba Security. If you've had a phone call that was kind of suspicious, give us a call. 8:30 time now, WWL First News with Dave Cohen. All right, 8:45, talking to Jason Glassberg, our friend, ethical hacker and co-founder of Kasaba Security. How safe is it, Jason, says this text, and if you have any questions or texts about internet scams, and I got one that I'll share with you in a second, Jason, that just stuns me that it could still be effective, but apparently it is. Anyway, this question says, how safe is it to use phone for purchases or banking no matter where you are? Is a secure Wi-Fi connection necessary? And I will piggyback on that and ask you, just because it says HTTPS, is it S?
Well, yes, for the most part, when it says HTTPS, it is S, and S is for secure, which mm-hmm. means that it's encrypted, and no one can do what they call a man in the middle and intercept your traffic and read what it is. Yes, you are going to be safe. You're never 100% safe, right? So everything is within reason. There are techniques, of course, and tricks that governments can use to intercept cell phone calls and read cell data. But for the most part, yes, you're going to be safe in the transmission end. But remember, your cell phone or tablet is still just a computing device and vulnerable to the same kinds of web vulnerabilities and mischief that your computer is. So it's just as easy for your cell phone to be fooled by a malicious website than it is for your computer. So always confirm, right? You can trust, but verify, as people like to say. So make sure that the website you're going to is, in fact, the one that you're intending to go to.
Another text pops up and says you log on to somebody's free internet, like, you know, you're at the doctor's office or whatever, or maybe at a coffee shop or whatever. Does that mean anybody can steal your information? And should you ever make a purchase that involves your credit card number when you are on somebody else's internet? Sometimes hospitals have it. You know what I'm saying? Workplaces have it.
Yeah. And I would say in the case that they don't ask you for a password, which means it's not encrypted, absolutely not. Okay. And that is that's a scenario where you would want to use your cell phone's data connection if for some reason you needed to do something online. I would always recommend doing a financial transaction or any kind of purchase, you know, when possible, in your home trusted network on your home trusted PC. But if, in fact, that's not, you know, possible, then certainly use your phone's data or go to a more trusted Wi-Fi.
And somebody else asked about, can they go into your phone if you're on a shared Wi-Fi and get information that way? Because you sign on to it, you don't read the agreement, and then can they get your personal information, even if you don't punch it into the phone, just off of it?
No, you know, it would have to be a rather sophisticated attack, which, again, is conceivable, but not very well likely. More likely is someone can sit there and, as we said, intercept the traffic. So if you log into a bank or log into your mail or log into some online shopping, they, in that case, would be able to steal your login information over the wire. But the odds of them being able to actually go into your phone and remove data that way is not very likely.
Our friend Katie Moore, Channel 4, is going to do a story on this from what I've seen of the promos tomorrow night. But I had the phone sitting up here one time, and we were talking off the air, and I mentioned some kind of obscure reference, an iPhone, some kind of obscure reference like Jacob Javits or something that hadn't been around. No, Sam Irvin, I think it was, from the Watergate thing. And I'll be damned if a couple of minutes later I didn't get not a message, but like a pop-up ad about Sam Irvin. Yeah, are the phones listening to us constantly, or was that just a random thing that happened?
Well, this is one of the, you know, I would call it an urban myth, but it's one of the things that people are always concerned about, right? Is my phone listening to me, and is it, you know, capturing information and sending it far away? And there are two things that can happen, or might have happened in that scenario, right? The first is all of the phones nowadays, and even the PCs, come with what they call these digital assistants. You know, your Amazon Echo, your Google Home, even your phones, if you say, okay, Google, or you know, Alexa, will then respond with, yeah, what is it? And it's conceivable and possible that you might have mentioned the, you know, the listen word when you mentioned that name and it popped up on your screen. The other case that could possibly be was that you had spent some time earlier in the day either Googling or reading news about this story.
Nope.
Then I would venture to wager that it was something along the lines of you mentioning. Did you mention your you know, okay Google or something Google that can be interpreted as the listen word?
Oh, I don't listen to me when I'm on the air, Jason. I have no idea. We can take a break.
You know,
no, but seriously, I mean, and I think Katie Moore is going to do a story on that outlook, because I think they were doing the same thing, having a conversation about Airbnbs, and all of a sudden Airbnb ads popped up. Take a break, come back, because I got a question here that has been repeated in about five texts, and it is about Alexa and Google Echo and these things. Are they constantly listening to you? Jason Glassberg is our guest, ethical hacker, co-founder of Kasaba Security. If you have one of these in your home, you may want to hear what Jason has to say when we come back. 8:51, 9 before 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:56, got 3 minutes left with Jason Glassberg, ethical hacker, co-founder of Kasaba Security. So you have Alexa in your home, you have a Google Echo. Whatever happened to Siri?
It's still there.
Is it? Okay. What are they listening to you? Do you have to turn it off? What's going on here? Because they've already admitted they're listening to you, did they not?
Well, they are. And in fact, you know, that's how they work. They're always listening, but they're always listening for their wake word, right? In the case of Alexa, it's going to be, hey, Alexa. In the case of Google, it's, oh, Google. And while they're always on, they're not really recording your conversations until they are, in fact, activated by that wake word. What's been disturbing and has come to light recently is that all of these companies have been, in fact, hiring human beings to listen in on these conversations in a so-called effort to, you know, increase their efficiency and word recognition. And, of course, none of this was ever publicly disclosed that, you know, actual human beings were going to be listening to these conversations. And, of course, there's a lot of privacy concerns there.
That's creepy, if nothing else. Somebody texted, one thing somebody texted in about, and I cannot believe that this is still happening. People are still falling for the Nigerian prince thing?
Yes, they are. They are. They are. In fact, that is probably the number one issue that is affecting, you know, computer users today are these what seemingly outrageous, you know, email phishing scams. The prince is from Nigeria, the long-lost relative stuck at the airport, these people needing money. But remember, these are very cheap and inexpensive crimes to undertake, right? It costs virtually nothing to send out 10,000 or 100,000 emails.
But Jason, and we only have a minute left, this has been around so long, it is ubiquitous. How can anybody still fall for this?
Never underestimate the human capacity to fall for ridiculous schemes.
Man, I guess, you know, and that's nothing but the electronic version of drop the pigeon, I think they used to call it, right? I found this money, and if you advance some money to me, I'll go get it. And when you're sitting
right,
on the park
bench. Right, the Monty table.
Exactly,
in
same
the
thing. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate your time. I hope we can talk to you again next month.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great day. All right, Jason Glassberg, ethical hacker, co-founder of Kasaba Security. Next stop.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.